You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to the 10th episode, third season of Showtime's Homeland, episode entitled Good Night. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me tonight is...
Hello, I am Lauren Leonelli.
And I am Nando Velasquez. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yes, so it was a fun-filled... action-packed episode,
but before we really get into it,
this is like the first episode of Homeland coming off of Thanksgiving, and I just want to give a brief recognition for Paul Walker and the loss that we experienced over the weekend. It was a tragedy. I don't want to expound on it. We're gonna stay on topic for the show, but our hearts go out to the Walker family, family and friends, and. He will definitely and surely be missed.
Yep.
He was a great guy. I didn't know him personally, but I saw him on a bunch of interviews and stuff. He seemed like the nicest, coolest dude to kick it with or hang out with.
He seemed like very, very nice, very genuine from all the interviews that I saw with him.
Yeah. Like they say, he was really down to earth.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, so
and Maria, our CEO, creator of AfterBuzz TV, knew him and interviewed him and attested to that, too. So it's very sad, and we're all... Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends.
So we will definitely miss you, Paul. Okay, so let's jump right into this episode called Good Night.
Good Night.
With the attempted installment of Brody in Tehran.
This was like the old Homeland that we were missing for a while. Like
those
ops that like keep you on the edge of your seat and... Mm. Whew, it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
I think I hit you a couple times, Thaddeus.
Yes.
He was close enough in range for me to be like, what? 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 Yeah.
I know. I have a bruise on my arm. She's like, no, wait. Carrie's going to tell everybody she's pregnant.
I keep saying that the whole time, that Carrie's going to tell everyone she's pregnant. She's about to do it, and she just never does.
So let's talk about that, because Carrie and Quinn end up on the elevator alone.
Ooh, hey.
And he wants to check up on her to see how much damage he did to her upper bicep, make sure he didn't hit an artery or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he happens to peruse through her medical files, and he was stupid enough to tell her. I don't think I would have told her that I looked through her medical files, because that's obviously
very
something
stalky.
That's.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm just stalking you.
You could stalk me anytime, Peter Quinn. Fine by me. Thaddeus and I were joking because I keep saying that they need to have sex because I just want to see that. No reason. Just
now she said they need to have sex because he can't get her pregnant.
And I'm like, well, perfect. Now I can't get her pregnant, so they should just have sex. Okay. I'm just saying maybe you women at home want to see a sex scene with Peter Quinn. I know we got a little tidbit with the shower scene. I'm just throwing it out there.
Out of control. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... He outs her pregnancy and lets her know.
And by the way, he's like, you're 15 weeks pregnant, Carrie. Like, she doesn't know that. Well, she might, but I mean,
okay.
I love how everyone likes to remind her, like, in the last episode when the doctor's like, are you even worried about the baby or whatever he's
right.
Like, what?
Because she was drinking heavily.
She didn't ask about it when she got shot. She didn't ask about how's the baby. So he brought it up. It's like people like to point out. It's a constant reminder that she's just kind of ignoring it, or so it seems.
Well, it's Quinn watching out for Carrie once again. He does so much. You know, he goes behind everyone else's back. Because obviously, I think Carrie's never going to, I don't want to say never, but she definitely doesn't want to admit that she's pregnant to her superiors, to Saul, or anyone, because for the same reason that Quinn brought it up. Quinn's going up to her first and said, I'm not going to rat on you, but you shouldn't be here.
You're
can't be objective in this case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Saul would be like, get
you're out.
out of here.
Absolutely.
You get out of here. Nobody gets that.
So if she ends up admitting it, she's just doing mm-hmm. another move that she always does to screw up an operation to cause a wrinkle in it. Especially,
exactly.
We already know her motives with Brody. Even without knowing her pregnant, she always compromises herself when it comes to Brody.
Didn't you love when Saul was like, bite it hard?
Right.
She was freaking out.
Because,
if he knew she was pregnant, he would have been like, dude.
Yeah.
You're on bed rest.
Yeah.
But going back to Quinn, doesn't it seem like he's become a little too invested in her, like,
well,
beyond the work? Like, he always relates it to work to validate
yes.
his creepy stalkiness.
He is not creepy, first of all.
It's becoming a little.
No, this is my thing with
I looked
Quinn.
In your medical file to see how much damage I had done.
Well,
and
he shot
it,
her in the arm.
You're 15 months pregnant.
15
weeks. I mean, 15
weeks.
15
months.
Months.
Holy crap.
15 weeks pregnant.
It's a big baby.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, really? Like,
okay, I have something to say about that. Yes, I do think that Quinn is crossing the line with her and becoming more close with her, but I feel like Quinn is pulling himself away from working for a doll and doing things for the CIA. I know he's involved, but he, after accidentally shooting that kid and all the things that we've seen him go through this season, mm-hmm. he at any second is like, I'm ready to walk away. I don't care. I don't know if it's worth it. We've even heard him say that before.
Right.
So if he's in it for anything, it's got to be for somebody and not just for the love of the job like it used to be. So if he feels like he is protecting Carrie or working maybe more in line with Saul and like his job is to protect Carrie, then I feel like, yeah, that's what's the only thing that's keeping him there. And so, yes, these kind of things, it does seem like it's crossing the line, but I don't think that I think he would just be done if he didn't have an emotional connection somewhere, because we've seen the emotional side of Peter Quinn
right.
this season.
I love how she admitted that, like, within 5 seconds, it was Brody's baby. And then she was like, well,
oh,
how
yeah.
do you know
wait,
it's Brody's
you guys,
baby?
What do you think about that?
Like,
wait.
Like, less than 5 seconds.
She goes,
like,
oh,
she's definitely pregnant.
Oh, because you think it's Brody's baby? Well, it's not. But wait, you
I
guys.
I picked up some random guy at a 7-11.
That has red hair and looks just like Brody. Yeah. And excuse me, Queen of Predictions. Thank you very much. I have been saying
oh,
this.
Goodness.
Stop it. Don't laugh, Daddy.
What?
You agreed with me.
I'm a happy person. I'm going to laugh.
You know what? These boys are going to get water thrown in their face if it weren't for all these wires and stuff. Nando,
yes.
Did I not say that?
Yes. Did you say what?
That.
You say a lot of things.
Who's laughing? Are you laughing at me, Marissa?
Did you not say what?
Okay, you say a lot of things.
Let's say it again.
Okay, what did
I do say a lot of things.
Right.
And they're
what
all,
did you say?
And they're all very valid, and this was one of them. I said the reason why the guy that she had sex with on the stairs from the liquor store looks just like Brody, that was not an accident. It's not like Brody is some, like, he's got brown hair and he's whatever. He's a freaking ginger. He's, like,
okay, so
very
wait,
specific
wait, wait.
She
looking.
Could pass
okay.
off the daddy to
I'm,
him?
No. I'm saying that there is a reason why. I don't know that that was premeditated. I'm not saying that she thought she was pregnant and she needed to have sex
so
with this guy that looked
you
like
saying?
I'm saying that there's a reason why the whole season I've been saying there's a reason why the dude that she had sex with looks just like Brody. If you're think about just casting
okay,
purposes.
Okay,
no,
okay,
no,
okay.
I get it. People have certain types. No, I totally understand
no.
that. I agree with it. People have certain types. I'm sure like all your future boyfriends are going to look exactly like Peter
they
Quinn.
They don't.
Or close
I
to.
I wish.
Well, it's not unheard
point,
of that when somebody breaks up with somebody or they're like
yes.
fawning for somebody or they had an unwanted breakup,
yes.
they end up dating people.
But
that
I'm
look,
saying, yes,
right.
I get that. But what I'm saying is there is a reason why in the future that is going to come into play.
So you, that's
it's
what I'm saying.
It's not just going to be.
So we're saying is, was it strategic? Did she strategically?
The writing, not her. I'm saying the writing. That was put in there on purpose. You don't cast some dude for her to randomly have sex with that looks like Brody. That wasn't an accident. They purposely sought out the breakdown for that. That actor was.
I think you're really getting really in depth in here.
And I'm saying that there's a reason. She's going to try and pass it off like that's the father of the baby.
I will bet you money that this guy, this stranger, will not show up on Homeland ever again.
Probably not.
He probably won't. So then I don't think that you're.
But that doesn't mean he needs to show up.
What you're saying is valid, and I agree it's valid, but I feel like if it's some kind of plan, then we would see this guy again.
Well, I don't
season
know about
four.
That.
Season four.
Maybe,
season four.
Like, you never know.
Like
I mean, we saw Tom Walker for a snippet again. I mean, he was obviously a more.
Well,
he was a more prominent
character.
Yeah, a prominent character. But that's all I'm saying is that I have this inkling in my mind, just from a casting standpoint, is
right.
all I'm saying. There's no reason why they would make that guy look like Brody.
I think it's human nature.
But I'm saying the writing and the story, there's
so you think
a reason
they have a
why that
plan
was
for that. Basically,
yes,
what you're
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, gotcha.
That's even more than human
than
nature.
Than just like, oh, she was attracted to this guy that looks like Brody.
Just mark it on your calendar.
We'll keep that in mind for season 4.
It's going to come into play.
Okay. We shall see.
And I know when you do, we're both going to get hit like endlessly.
I'll let you know. Don't you worry.
Blowing up our Twitter or our text. I told you.
That's right.
Okay, so how many? I want to know how many of you guys out there after buzzers, and you guys can call in 424-256-1729, 424-256-1729, and let us know how many of you guys thought that when they were aborting the mission and they realized it wasn't going to go down and Brody was talking to Carrie on a satellite phone and she was trying to convince him to fall back and come back and regroup and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, right. You know, that's not going to happen. That she was going to spill the beans. How many of you guys out there thought that she was going to spill the beans about the pregnancy to try to get him to come back?
Did you think she was?
I wasn't sure. I honestly didn't have an opinion on it because I just feel like that would have been a major. I guess I didn't think she would have. Because I would have thought that would have been amazing. I mean, maybe I'm looking at it 2020. Yeah. I really honestly didn't have an opinion either.
I agree with you, Nando, that she shouldn't. It would be a major thing, and that's her huge secret, and that's the last thing she would ever tell. But I feel like it's going to take a moment of like, oh my God, ah! And just like her like being a little bit irrational or freaked out because she's so emotional because she's connected to Brody in that way, that it would just come out accidentally or just a last resort panic.
But she's not telling him that he's the father, but at the same time, she's treating him like he's the father. I thought, just to jump ahead for a split second, I know we'll talk about Farrah more later, but when she's talking to Farrah trying to convince her family to help out, Farrah asked, would you ask your own family to do this?
And she said,
she said, in my own way, I guess so. And of course, because Brody's the baby daddy, so she's already asking him to do all this stuff.
Right.
She's already putting him
she
in
She would
danger.
Anyway.
Yeah.
She's cray. So, and I don't mean different. That like that.
But asking Brody
everybody.
Doesn't count. Because Brody, Brody's in the game.
Yeah.
Brody's
yeah.
in the game. So asking him to do something is not quite the same as asking like
but I think
her
she,
mom or
I know,
sister.
You're right. But I think she would.
But I think she would too.
The writing, the way the writing was, I thought it was a very interesting
line. Of course. Yeah. That was meant to make you think about that connection.
But also, I think her asking, you know, even though we've jumped ahead, I don't care. Farrah talking or asking Farrah if she would ask her family, she or her asking Carrie, would you ask your family? It's kind of like, you got to think. Carrie is a soldier, so to speak. Farrah is an office worker. You know, she's not an operative or anything like that.
And we know based
and her
on,
family is not.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
I know.
We
I
know
agree.
Based on 2 weeks ago with the scenes with her dad on how important it is for the Iraqi Guard, Royal Guard, to not know that Farrah is involved with the CIA at this point. Because she has family, these very family members that Carrie is now asking to put their butts on the line.
Exactly.
They could get hung or
exactly.
shot.
That is a
and now you're asking me to actively get my uncle, my father's brother, he works at a bank?
Yeah,
so he works at a bank, right?
I believe so.
To,
well,
like,
she was supposedly working at
the
bank.
She was supposedly working at the bank.
I don't know what he's doing.
But the uncle works at a bank in Tehran.
They didn't say a job for
him. No, she said that he doesn't. He's not a bomb thrower.
No, they did say a place where he worked. That was important. They said your uncle works at the such and such and such and such. She said that.
Okay, I missed that.
I can't remember what it was, but
this is a reoccurring theme throughout this season as well, is what the CIA, like who they are willing to put on the line, what they are willing to risk. And that's why people who are trying to change what like Lockhart and characters that are kind of trying to change what's going on in the CIA, that's their ammo against them. Like, look what you guys do. Look what you put Carrie through. Look whose lives you're risking.
Right.
You guys don't even care. They're trying to make it out like that. So that's a reoccurring theme here. And that's, I think, kind of pointing that out that, you know, it is.
Well, here's the thing.
It is kind of true. I mean, they do put, I think that it's for the greater good and a great purpose that they're doing these things. And yeah, unfortunately that has to happen sometimes and they try their best not to. But even there, it was a little shot into Carrie just being like, yeah, man, put your family on the line. Like that is what she's asking her to do.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about, you know, being a spy or whatever. It's all part of warfare. And it has a lot to do with psychological warfare because you have to get personal with the people. You have to know their family. It's not like you're on the front line with guns just shooting at people.
Exactly.
And you don't get to know them. You don't know their names or anything like that. Those are different kinds of soldiers.
Gets
so
emotional.
These spies are a form of soldiering. They are They just,
for sure,
they just in the art of warfare in a completely different way.
More mental.
And so it's just like when you're like on the front lines and somebody gets shot or blown up next to you and you're still under fire, you keep shooting and fighting. You just don't stop and tend to that situation. You know that it's part of the game.
Exactly.
So we can't personalize them to the extent where, well, they're sacrificing all of us and blah, blah, blah. That's part of the job.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if we want to win the war, then you can't get so attached where we lose sight of what the end goal is.
Yeah, they're doing it for a greater purpose, but I just feel like it's something they keep pointing out.
Well, they keep pointing it out, I think, because that is the moral compass of, is like what we talked about a few weeks ago, like, is all this bad stuff going on really going to...
Is it for the greater good?
Right. Is it for the greater good? And
well, after,
has been going on for generations, right? Have we ever reached the greater peace within doing all this heinous underworld activity?
Well, I think, and this is the whole thing with Lockhart, you know, based on history.
Right.
No, when you look at the, when you look at Central America and you look at Latin American country, you know, like, you would look at that, at the history of that. No, not really.
What they're trying to do right now, too, if you think about it. Okay, so they're trying to take out the guy above Javadi who was under, Abu Nazir.
No, Abu Nazir was a terrorist. Abu Nazir, he was never part of the Iranian government.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, totally different.
But they weren't, okay, well, anyway, but he's like, okay, so he's like the next Abu Nazir. He's like their main man to get.
He's the head of the country that's a major threat to the U.S.
Right. So if they do take him out, what is that really going to do?
Well, taking that guy out is going to allow them to install Javadi in the number one spot.
Okay.
That's their plan.
And use him as, yes, I get that, but... I still feel like it's not. There's still so many things that need to happen even after that.
Based on history, if this goes anything like other countries where the U.S. have tried to put in a puppet government themselves, where you put those, Javadi would end up taking control and end up being an even harsher dictator and going against the U.S.
Exactly.
So based on history, that is usually what happens. Of course, Saul has this view that he has this connection with Javadi, and he feels
that's
they share
not going to happen.
A very similar viewpoint, and he really feels that this will be for the greater good, and this time will be different. Because he knows Javadi personally. Who's to say that Noriega didn't know somebody in the U.S. government, for example?
Or
anybody else, exactly. Or Gaddafi.
Right, who's another exactly.
One. Yeah, or any of them. So, yeah, exactly.
This is history repeating itself all over again. what's really interesting is how Brody was aware enough. I mean, he's been through some pretty active situations, you know, so... It seems as if he would have his wits about him, which he did, because he actually freaked out earlier.
For a second, thought he didn't, though.
Well, earlier, he freaked out. And the way that scene played out, then I was telling you while we were watching it, it didn't really seem realistic.
When
the cops came and they had the two guys were under the hood looking at like something was wrong with the car and the code word was good night in order for them to get them out of the, you know, to break them out of the situation or to help them to get some support. It didn't really seem realistic that you could have a machine gun drawn on Brody on one side and a guy with a pistol on the driver on the other side.
And nobody gets a shot off.
He says good and stabs a guy over the door while he's sitting down. And neither one of them get a shot off. That was like completely unrealistic.
I agree with that.
That was smooth. That was a little too smooth. But
it was too smooth.
A little too smooth.
The guy, and then you see the guy's face who had the gun on Brody.
Yeah.
His face was like, he looked like he had a happy trigger finger. There's no way I would have believed that. Yeah, he was like ready to like.
He was ready to go.
And he just got sniped like that. Like, come on. I didn't believe it.
What I love about it, if you get into any passionate conversation with Homeland, all you have to do is say, good night. And the other person goes, what do you mean? What do you mean? Get away from me. That's all you have to do. Lord, good night.
Right.
It's like, and then, well, she doesn't do anything. But, you know, it works with other people, I'm sure.
I think about saying good night.
With Quinn.
To Peter Quinn. And I don't mean it like
that. And that's the problem. She should be thinking about saying good morning to Peter.
Ooh, or good morning.
I like that.
She's saying good morning.
You can say good night at.
You'll take it anywhere you can get it.
You can say good night at 10 in the morning if that's when we're going to sleep.
OMG. After all nighter. Okay. So, it really tripped me out that he really freaked out because.
Yeah.
What does he have left that he has? He has no family to go to. He has.
It's very soon after. I mean, this is within days that this dude had just came off of heroin and like he you know, explain to that dude too, like, okay, so I was taken to Venezuela and then I was brought back and like the shit that he just went through in the past, what, like 30 days? Yeah. He had that moment. He wasn't expecting to see a guy, you know, blood splatter all over his face.
So close.
Granted, he's been in that situation before, but it snapped him out of his like concentration mode for sure.
Don't forget that we haven't seen Brody kill anybody at all this season. If anything, we got see in his episode, we got to see him witness the pickpocket who stole his wallet get pushed over a ledge, and saw his reaction to that. And then when he escaped to go to that Adnan, Anand and his wife, and then to see them slaughtered in front of him, these were the last deaths that he saw. And now again to see this police officer who's just doing his job and thinks they're, you know, they're terrorists or you know, obviously thinks something's wrong, and to see them get killed when, especially, again, they were saying in the White House they were expecting no casualties. They were expecting just to sneak him in over the border, and that's it. And here's Brody with blood on his face.
Not for me. Do you think that this is like a mini, it's not like ISA, because that was like very much more intense, clearly, but it's like that. He's back in this, in his, like, second or maybe first, depending on what you believe, homeland. Like, this is, and he's watching the American people kill. That's the thing he has a problem with. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that people just come in and start killing
Americans
people.
Killed the Iraqi guard there?
Yeah.
The Iraqi police?
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like
the White House doesn't think that anybody's going
to
get
and
killed.
And he's not expecting, really? Well, come on, that's what they have to say.
This is an operation, though. This is not like they're making a statement to the public.
Okay,
this is like an operation.
But what's going on in Brody's mind is maybe not what he's there for. This is what I said when this episode ended. It's like, this is back to old, like, season one Homeland. Like, is he? Isn't he? Is he? Isn't he? Whose side is he on? Is he a Marine? Is he a terrorist? Like, what is the thing here? So I feel like this could be a moment where somebody might think, shoot, is he? Did that just happen? And maybe it's not because he's been through so much in like 30 days and he is like still kind of weak. Maybe it's because he doesn't want to see that and it gets him to the core. And when he crosses over that border, is he going to really defect?
I didn't get that same experience as you. I got that more from Javadi, not trusting Javadi and what his reasons were, but so much with Brody. But one thing that I will say that I really liked about Brody is when we first saw him with the socks, changing the socks, and just his banter and the way he was talking to the other guys, he seemed very at ease. He seemed very at home being out in the field on a mission.
Right.
So like, that's
what
we
do. He was very comfortable. Yeah, he seemed like back to, I guess, what would be the old
Marine.
Being a Marine back in the old days.
Right.
So he seemed very, very capable
until that moment
when he saw somebody, you know, get shot right in front of him and there's blood on his face.
Now, does he have a weapon?
And that freaked him out. But that was his moment of changing. Yeah, he probably did, but he just didn't want to use it.
Because he's not...
Because he didn't want to be outed.
He also...
I don't think he has a weapon.
I think he probably does. How could he not?
Was he shooting in that shootout?
No, he wasn't.
That's interesting.
I don't think he has a weapon.
He probably doesn't.
Maybe he just had to have that guy.
That would make somebody freak out, too.
That would too, but
I don't know.
You don't have a weapon.
It's that with Brody. I don't think it's that with Brody. I feel like with Brody, it's an emotional tie to when he turned, and I don't know that he's.
It's probably a little bit of all that stuff. I mean,
it's gotta be.
You're out there. You have to rely on this team. If you were a Marine, everybody has a weapon. When you're a Marine with your team, everybody has a weapon. Everybody can defend themselves.
Initially, I thought it was just a lot for him that he just went through a lot, but I don't know now. I think Brody.
Well, I still think I agree with you that it's an emotional connection, but I don't think it really connects him back to the days when he was captive by Abu Nazir. I think if anything, it's just a man who's just tired of being in this war. And for a second, he's like, oh, wow, this is kind of like why I went into fun, this camaraderie, this kind of thing, an adventure. And then to see this adventure, just imagine this adventure. And all of a sudden, people are dying in front of you that aren't supposed to be dying. It's not even your target.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying.
And here you go. If he can't even witness a person. And here's the thing. I don't know whether or not he's going to switch or not. But if he can't even witness this thing that happened in the car, this guy getting shot in front of him, how is he going to pull a trigger on a target?
Well, I don't think that he will. I don't think that he will. I think it's going to go back to that flip-flop where the audience is constantly questioning whose side is Brody on. And I think this is the first...
Because he's a Marine. He's not an operative.
But this is
completely
different. He's a jarhead.
Exactly.
This is
completely different.
I feel like this is the first little, like, snippet back into that again, like I said, is he or isn't he? Whose side is he on? I think that moment where the blood was splattered on his face, it was like, the American people are killing innocent people. I don't agree with, like, he doesn't agree with that.
I think, you know, the thing about Brody is also, though, Brody has these moments where he goes into survival mode, and then you see a Brody that's like... Remember when he killed the guy in the woods? Was that last season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the guy...
The bomb maker.
The bomb maker. Mm-hmm. And he was really trying to save the guy's life, but then he was on the phone with his wife trying to explain why he wasn't at the banquet that he was supposed to be at, and then... She was like, what is that noise in the background? He was like, he was just trying to muffle the guy, and he was freaking out so much because he was under pressure that he just snapped his neck.
Yeah.
Brody seems to, like, when he gets under, like, extreme pressure, he seems to operate he becomes another Brody.
So what are you saying? So are you saying in that moment that he was under pressure when he decided, I'm going to run for the border anyway? Because I think at that moment he went, screw these people that don't know what they're doing. I'm running over to the border and going back to where I want to stay. Hmm. That's what I think he's doing.
Well, I think that he, under the situation that they placed him, is like, okay, we're going to put you over here, and you're going to do this, and we need you to do it. Because otherwise, what? There's nothing left for him at home.
I know, so that's why he doesn't want to go back.
Yeah, so he had the sense to say... Look, she was like, well, Carrie was like, well, we'll regroup and we'll send you back.
He was like,
no, that's not going to happen. Like, who are you talking to?
He doesn't
want
to be tied to them anyway. I feel like he relates more to the other side.
Yeah, but he just doesn't have anything at home anyway. There's nothing for him there.
Well,
his only chance is to complete this mission. Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't mean they're going to allow him to have a life with Dana and his family just because Dana's there. You know, so he has to complete his mission. That's the only leverage that he'll have to say, look, I did it. I did what you guys wanted me to do.
He wants to just be done.
Can you let me be a regular person now? Like, I think he...
Because that's what Saul said he would do. So you think his desperation to get over to the other side is just to be like, I did it. I'm done. Let's move on.
That's what I think.
I think it's...
Because it's like he goes back home, like, okay, fall back, we'll regroup. He knows how that stuff works. Mm-hmm. It could be all bureaucratic, tied up in red tape. And they're like, okay,
you know what?
We still don't know where you lie because you never completed the mission anyway. It fell through. We're going to lock you up for until we figure this thing out. And they go on to some whole other plan, and his life is screwed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's
like,
that's a good point.
I have nothing. I got to go for it now.
Well,
I got to make this plan work in order for me to have any leverage in getting back home.
But let's all agree that it's possible that they're trying to make you think that maybe he is also like trying to defect too. Because
he's keeping his options open.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I mean, Carrie mentioned it to him. She said, "You have no sanction. You have no support on the ground.
No extraction plan."
So yeah,
he doesn't have any other options.
He doesn't care.
He's a man. Yeah,
he has to go.
He's a man without a home.
Right.
The blood splattering on his face snapped him out of it, I think. It snapped him.
I don't think that's what snapped him out of it, because he freaked out right there. I think the mine is what snapped him out of it. The mine, when he had to save the other the spy's life.
Yeah,
and the guy, he could see the guy's leg was blown off. That's when he went into, this is really going on. He went into marine mode right there, and then they went under heavy gunfire. He ran across. Mm-hmm. He was like, I got to go now. This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
He got on the satellite phone with Carrie. He's like, we're going to shut this down.
I thought, speaking about that, so they go and run, the Brody and the soldier that's going with him, that totally went back and just risked everything for this dude and was like, you better run, and if you stop, I'm going to shoot you myself. That was gangsta. You're like, that was
pretty gangsta.
So
it was
anyways,
gangsta. He went over there.
True. And they were the camaraderie that we're talking about, that was all there. So they run and those lights come on and we're like, oh God. And they're surrounded. And I feel like, speaking of like things happening really smooth, like when they said goodnight and nobody got a shot off, I feel like he's like, I'm Nicholas Brody and I just want to find.
I'm seeking asylum.
Yeah, I'm seeking asylum. And they're like, okay, bring him on over.
Right.
It's like, wait, what? It was freaking...
Well, they
everybody know in Iran knows about this whole bombing at the CIA. They all know about it, and they all know who supposedly did it.
They all
watch
Homeland.
Yeah.
They all know. They're up to date on their Homeland.
No, they know what's up.
I know, but I'm just saying that happened all that, you know.
In the military and
they locked
within
him
the
up.
Government,
yeah.
They know.
They want to at least.
They know who's
doing what. Dude, and then they shot
at the very
that.
Least a POW, so they figured they can just take him
well,
in for
did.
That.
Well, they did. That's what they said. They had prisoners.
And he's a man at large throughout the world.
Yeah.
They don't know where he's at. Yeah.
And by the way, how crazy was that when Javadi just shot that dude right in the
head? And I told you.
I saw it coming.
I saw it coming, too.
Yeah, I saw it coming. I was like,
I didn't see Javadi coming into the cell though. I didn't expect him to like show up like that.
But this guy's I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, hold out for 7 days before I break. I'm like, dude, you're not even gonna last one day.
You know what's crazy? I said it when they first captured. It was funny. Like all the lights came on when they were hiding behind. They were hiding, looking one way, and all the light on the all the jeeps and soldiers were on the other side. So I was like, this dude's gonna get killed. I said, I hope he lasts. I hope they keep him alive, and at least Brody has one person that is like a fog of somebody fall back on for support.
Yeah,
I know.
But something was like, I was like,
well,
they're going to kill him.
He was planning on running there by himself, and he'd have no assistance. And all of a sudden, oh, well, it's not so bad. He's got you know this red shirt right here next to him, and then pow.
Right.
You know?
Why didn't Brody freak? I mean, he did freak out when that guy got shot. He did.
Yeah, he did.
But he didn't like go into like crazed mode that he like he did when the police officer got shot.
Well, because Javadi had a gun to his head, and he was pretty much like,
I'm just
shut
saying,
up.
He still could have like. I mean, he freaked.
He did freak out,
but it felt like a different freak out. It felt different.
Somebody just.
I think
it was a freak out
because he knew he might be next.
Right, and it was under way more controlled circumstances.
What? He could have been next in that situation too. What do you mean?
So he's freaking out for it. That's what I mean.
I know. I'm just saying it felt different. He did freak out. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm saying it felt different.
Because it was under a way more controlled situation.
He was in
a jail cell as opposed to like being out in the field is more like.
I think the freak out before when he was out in the field was here's an innocent person, as innocent can be, an Iraqi policeman.
And that other guy was an innocent.
Well,
either?
He's a soldier. He's a soldier.
Yeah,
this is more of a, this is a casualty of war.
Right.
This guy knew what he was going in for.
Right.
And Brody was more scared for his own. And also, he just connected with this guy, too. But
he was the guy he was talking to about the socks and everything.
Yeah.
They kind of built a little bond. On the way.
I'm just saying it felt different. That's all.
Yeah, no, it definitely felt different.
Well, it was way more personal.
Way more personal.
Yeah.
Which the other freakout seemed way more deep. That's all I'm saying.
I love how Javadi comes in his Italian jackets.
He dresses so Euro sleeves.
I'm just saying because you made it sound like it was a
Hugo
reason for
Boss.
Him to turn. I just don't see him turning because the soldier got shot.
No, not the soldier. I'm saying I think that was a. That when the police officers all got shot in that incident, I think that was maybe a point where you might see Brody not agreeing with the way that the American soldiers and the defense and all of that goes about doing things.
And it brings
him back to the drone attack that killed a bunch of innocent people. And then there's this. And then I feel like it makes him want to defect. I feel like it takes him out of it.
But then you said that second shooting, you made it sound like he didn't react the same way because
he
was on that mindset.
No, because he was on that mindset, but why did it feel different?
I think just because he probably didn't expect it.
I mean, and it was different circumstances.
You know, they're sitting there. He probably was like, okay, they've captured us. I told them who I am.
Yeah.
Seeking asylum.
I just name dropped my own name.
We don't know if he knows Javadi.
It's like going to the club and then getting VIP and then your friend not getting in.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Nicholas Brody. You're not going to let me in? This guy can't come with me?
And we don't know.
He's my wingman.
We don't know if he knows Javadi is an asset.
That's the other thing.
We assume that Javadi knows that Brody is phase two
there.
Because Saul is probably giving him information.
Of course, he has to know.
But we don't know how much Brody knows about how he's going to get in.
I know. See, and I was.
I think Brody knows.
And I was saying, how could he not know? But then you made a good point saying it's need-to-know basis. He might not know that Javadi's... I would think that they would be like, so there's this guy Javadi. There's this dude Javadi that you're going to meet.
Else? What if he gets captured and tortured by somebody else? And he knows about
Javadi. Anything could happen. Exactly. So as far as I'm concerned, Brody knows what he needs to know, and he has a mission that he's supposed to fulfill, and that's it.
And Javadi knows...
Javadi knows way
about
more.
Brody, because Javadi's got to set Brody up in a position
but
to
how
do
how does
this
Brody know who to trust, though? Because now he's got this Javadi guy, and he's like, do I go with him? Do I... What? This isn't what they told me.
Because he's a lower-level asset. His job is just to go in there and commit
Lead
an assassination.
Him. Yeah.
Javadi is potentially going to be... implementing policy and all
that,
this other kind
but
of
I'm
stuff.
Saying
I guess
Brody,
it's up to Javadi to tell Brody.
I know, but how does Brody know to trust him?
What other choice does he?
He doesn't have to trust him.
He just has to do what he's supposed to do.
I know, but what if he... Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying he's there. He doesn't know what's going on, and this guy's like, come with me, let me... And what if he's I don't think I'm supposed to be doing this.
Don't forget, the plan was for Brody to get over to Iran and to become a war hero because he's seeking asylum as a terrorist of the United States for the bombing at Langley.
Yeah.
And the way Saul has it pictured is he'll become an icon and a hero, and he will be able to get access to this guy.
Right. Which is what we saw in the scenes.
Yeah, so we don't really need to see, you know, him to know exactly who's going to set him up that way.
I know, but
trust
I just,
that they're going to set him up.
That's what I'm saying, though. How does he, it's like, how does he know that? But yeah, I mean, obviously he's just going to have to go with it. But
he has to just go with it.
This guy has nothing right now.
He has to do it.
It was an aborted plan, and all the help that he was going to have, he doesn't have now.
I'm just questioning why he wants to fight. Yeah. I feel like he's not fighting for his country. He's fighting to just be done with it all, or he's fighting because he wants to defect.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying. He's not running across the border because he's like, yay, America, I'm going to save America. No, he's either doing what you said or he's doing what I said.
I don't agree with the latter of what you said about him defecting, but I do. Obviously, he is not 100% in the mindset. I will say that. He still is a little bit of a loose cannon.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think about, let's pop over to Saul and his Lockhart situation. Because.
That was interesting.
Yes, because this is obviously the puppet masters of this whole scenario. Obviously, Saul is the puppet master of everything that's going on, and he's being pressured by Lockhart, of course, who's the up-and-coming director, and they've been playing a game of chess between the two of them. And finally, it seems as if they might be pushing everything aside to work together. Do you guys think that Lockhart is finally on Saul's team, or Lockhart still has to be watched?
Nope.
Which one?
I mean, I know you're asking the audience, but no, I do not think that Lockhart is on Saul's team. I think that, and I said this, I think, last episode, too, that it's going to come, you know, we know that Saul kind of saved Lockhart's ass when he's like, hey, man, I caught you trying to, you know, you have a spy that slept with my wife to try and all that. I could out you and you'd be done in a second, but.
That's gangster, too. I'm going to send a spy to screw your wife.
I know, right?
And then get all your information.
But Saul caught him because Saul's gangsta. And Saul caught him and basically was like, I'm not going to tell on you because it would embarrass my wife. And B, it would ruin the agency. And you know that those things are his two loves. Like that's his thing that he's been, you know, balancing act between the whole time.
Right.
And I feel like in that moment, Lockhart, I knew from that moment, I'm like, this is going to come back around and Lockhart's going to be able to help Saul out or not. And he's totally not going to help him out. And no, he is not on his side. He's getting in there because he wants to see what's going on. Lockhart's a bad seed.
Okay. Well,
do
you think by him postponing the Senate hearing, or I'm sorry, not
well,
the Senate,
he had no choice.
His position, his appointment.
His appointment. Do you think that that was a sign of good faith that him and, you know,
he was forced to do that.
He was forced to do it. Okay. And that's what I'm saying. That's my point is that something's going to happen before the end of the season that where Saul's going to need Lockhart to help him out. And he's going to be like, hey man, throw me a bone. And Lockhart's going to be like, by the way, screw you.
Well, let's not forget that Lockhart is a politician first and foremost. Yeah. So,
what are you saying?
Well, you know, so a couple of weeks ago when he thought he had all the power, he was able to really speak frankly to Saul and be like, yeah, I don't agree with your views and when I take over.
So all of a sudden now he wants to help him?
I wouldn't say help him. He's only there to observe. And as he said, he logically said there's nothing he can do right now.
That is a valid point.
So he has no choice but to wish it success. Because either way, he inherits this project. If it's a success or a failure, he inherits it.
And you pointed that out when we were watching Two Thaddeus. Mm-hmm. Total valid point. That is true. However, I don't believe that he's sincere when he says that.
Right.
Yes, that is what he's – he has no choice, so he has to just go along with it. Now, you either – you know, you play nice with your enemy. You get in there, you get information, and then you screw him over when it's time. That's totally what he's doing.
Well, again, that's why I say he's like a politician. He has to deal with people every day who don't have the same views as him, but he gets to work in a certain way. And then when he doesn't agree with something, he can work it in and out. So he knows
better. Yeah, he's definitely not going to help Saul. When the tables turn, and they will, he will not. He's
learned,
not on his side.
He's learned from Saul. He was a little overconfident with Saul, and then he got bitch slapped a couple of times by Saul. And now he gets to play.
I like when Saul bitch slaps people.
Yeah. And then he gets to go in there and be all
Lockhart has not forgotten about that.
No, and I mean, we see it in clips for next week that it seems like he's starting to get.
But he has nothing to forget about. He screwed Saul over first, so it's like, it's not like.
Did he screw Saul over? He got appointed by the president, and he was going to take over this. I don't know if you call that screwing Saul over.
He sent a spy to screw his wife.
Oh, that's true. Well,
yeah. Yeah,
I guess that's
he
true.
Played dirty. He played dirty.
Did he send the spy to screw his wife? Or
well,
did he say, go get the information, and the spy came back and said, I think
knows?
The best way to get in is...
the Israelis, right? Didn't he work?
No, they thought that he did, but then they found out... Well, that's the impression I got, unless I'm missing something. They weren't sure if he was working for the Israelis
or not. I'm not sure. I missed an episode last
but
week.
But he... the truth comes out.
I'm going to be honest.
But no, I don't know. I got the impression that that's what they thought, and then they figured out that, no, he was just sent by Lockhart. I don't know if he was connected on both ends or not, but I do know that he played dirty, and he fucked over Saul. Excuse my French, but he totally did.
I mean...
And I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Maybe the spy came back and said... I think the best way to get in is through, and he's like, do what you
that's
gotta
up
do.
To,
just handle it. That's up to you.
That's up to whoever.
However you need to do what you get the information you need to get.
We don't know the details
it.
Of the plan and what he was specifically told to do, but one can assume he was in charge of that and he still went and screwed his wife. So he's responsible either here
either
or there.
Way.
Anyway,
okay.
I think that he will screw Saul over if he gets
the proverbial sex blood is on his hands.
That's the new one.
The sex blood.
Sex blood.
Sex blood.
Yeah, the best kind of blood.
Is that as good as Blow Vacation?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Is that half a Red Hot Chili Peppers album? Sex Blood? Sex Blood?
Yeah, Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Yeah, Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Blow Vacation.
Blow Vacation. I still
like
that.
Blood Vacation.
Hey, just saying.
Okay, so I'm kind of like thrown with this Dar Dahl having tea at the White House business,
know,
giving
right?
advice at the same time, like being a consultant. Does Saul like place him there to like... keep tabs on Mike? Mike's a chief of staff, right?
Yeah, Mike's chief of staff.
Okay, so did he, like, keep him over? Does he have him there?
Probably.
He's there just to be the liaison for the White House instead of having everybody in the
that
control
guy,
room.
Exactly,
because he's been telling Mike, like, no, you don't want to go to the press?
Well, no.
And then Mike is getting fret, like, okay, damn. But everything is in Saul's favor. Every time he...
Well, of course, he's put him there strategically,
him there.
I think, so that he...
that
in that moment,
question.
He's not like, I'm calling the president, you know? Right. I mean, he's got to, like... I think he was sprinkled there on purpose.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So, yeah.
You're
agreeing that Saul placed him there,
somebody there to be the liaison between the White House...
Hold the reins.
Exactly.
Hold the reins and to be Saul's mouthpiece.
Totally.
In the White House.
Yep.
Okay.
Since they're on the same page,
yep.
those two.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's all it is.
Well, for now, they're on the same page.
For now.
Until
now.
Lockhart comes
and
gives him like some incentive, and then he's going to be on Lockhart's page.
Well, once the mission's going, I think they all line, with the exception of Carrie sometimes or Quinn, they all line up. Once a mission's set, they're like, okay, this is our objective. We got to stick to it.
Yeah.
You know? So
no,
everything
for sure.
we do is for the sake of the mission.
Yep.
So, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right. Dar Dahl, I think I would really like to see him more involved, based on how they set him up when he first came on the show. They set him up like...
He was
going to be like
man.
A menace to society.
Like he was going
like
to be
he
the
was just
man.
Coming to turn
yeah.
everything upside
yeah.
down. I was just expecting a whole
I
lot from him.
He was going to cause a lot more trouble, too.
Yeah,
me,
and
too.
Just,
and Peter Quinn, we knew he was involved with Quinn, and we didn't really know what Quinn was about. That was
and
very,
Quinn was,
like
really dark and
mysterious.
And
yep.
Sorry, guys. I set her up for that. My bad. Okay, so did we pretty much cover everything for this episode? We can go on, because we're kind of flirting with predictions.
I think we did.
We pretty much covered everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to... Do we have any news and gossip, or you guys want to jump straight to predictions, or do we have news and gossip?
I'd say I don't have any news and gossip.
I
didn't look
news
anything.
And gossip.
Okay, so let's go straight to predictions, so we can keep talking about what we think might happen.
You're after Buzz TV predictions.
Okay, so Lauren, you brought up that you think that Brody might possibly be turning.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't say 100% if I think he is or isn't. I think they're trying to definitely make you think that, and I think that it's definitely going back to that the thing that made it so intriguing, the season one, is he, isn't he game?
Right.
They're going to bring you back to that for sure. I think that now we see that Carrie is there on the scene where Brody's standing up and saying, you know, I'm coming here, you know, I basically saying that he's turned and that he wants to, you know, not – be, you know, an American citizen, a Marine or whatever, he wants to be
right.
there, and he's on their side. And I think that everyone around is going to start questioning, which they alluded to in the scenes, is he or isn't he? Let's get rid of him. Brody's done. He's turning. He's not. He's too much of a risk. Even if we don't know if he's turning or not, he's too much of a risk. Get him out. He's done.
Right.
I think that, and I've been saying this the whole time, Carrie's going to say she's pregnant. I think that's when it's going to come out. when she's going to need him to, because you know Carrie's going to be like, he's not turning. He's not. You know how she like always says that no matter what?
Right.
Well, I think in order for her to like get on that level with him, like tell me the truth, is this, you know, she's going to throw the baby card. To get him to either assure her or to either draw him back if she's questioning it. And I think Peter Quinn and Carrie are going to have sex.
Just really quickly.
I don't really. I just want them to.
Right,
or anybody. Just somebody.
Somebody
Peter Quinn.
Have sex. They always have sex this season.
Somebody and
somebody
else.
Carrie and the redhead.
Yeah, there you go.
Carrie and the redhead guy.
And Saul's wife.
And Saul's wife.
And Saul.
Did they show that, though?
Saul got laid.
They showed a little bit of that. And then and Saul's
I
wife
I thought they
the
showed
spy.
Just the afterglow.
They didn't show Saul. They did not show Saul. They showed Saul and the Saul's wife and the spy. And they
spy.
Showed...
When I got heat for 2 weeks ago, when right. I said I didn't think... I was like, oh, I should have seen it coming because I didn't think they made a good couple. Like, I thought he was a little too hot for her.
Right.
I got a lot... I just want to make this because I didn't get to defend myself last week. Somebody on iTunes called me a casual misogynist because of that and because of the Carrie thing. I know it's a personal. I thought it was funny. I actually laughed when I saw that.
I mean, come on.
I just want to say if Saul was dating a Victoria's Secret model who all of a sudden turned into a spy, I would have said the exact same thing.
Right.
And I think Maggie Patinkin's a very good looking guy. So
I also think
Mira is good looking. I just for some reason felt that it was
a mismatch.
It looked like a mismatch. He looked like he's just a little bit. First of all, she's so emotionally cold. Her character, Mira.
Yeah. Right.
That I just didn't see this cultural. The most interesting man in the world, as you like to call
the
him.
The most interesting.
Yeah, I just couldn't
see. To me,
he's
like the Dos Equis guy, like 30 years younger.
So to whoever that was on iTunes, and somebody tweeted at me saying, how dare you call that actress ugly? I'm like, I never called her ugly.
Right.
I just said I didn't think
And anyway, everyone's entitled to say who they're attracted to and not. And if he doesn't think she's attractive, then, obviously everybody
And on top of that, Nando never said he didn't think she was attractive. He said that he thought
I
that the
was
guy
middle-aged.
Was...
I did say she was middle-aged and a little full-figured, but I still thought she was attractive.
No, but no. You did say that.
I did say that.
But you said that you thought the guy was too good-looking for her.
Well, who cares?
It was like a mismatch. He didn't say that she wasn't good-looking. He just basically was explaining it was a mismatch. That's all.
Whatever.
That's all.
Somebody also said that Carrie kind of deserved getting shot 2 weeks ago. They kind of like put that in a different thing. Whatever. Anyway, my prediction, because I won't be here next week.
All right. What is your prediction, Nando?
I just want to do that. I actually really think that this is the end of Brody. This season is the end of Brody. I just don't see a happy ending for him. And I feel like he's going to get... I'm going to make that prediction right now since I won't be here next week.
Okay. Really quick questions. Really quick question for you guys out there in the stratosphere, and you guys can make comments on iTunes. You guys can follow us. You guys can comment. You guys can rate. Give us 5 stars at your leisure if you like. And let us know. I want to know how many of you were annoyed in the previews to see Carrie in Tehran. That annoyed. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Why
is she in Tehran? Because she always.
She's gonna get in trouble.
She's gonna get in trouble, and
that's
she's
what
gonna.
Makes it interesting.
She feels like Brody has no support, so I'm like, let me go over here and help him. I know that's what she's thinking. Let me save my baby daddy.
She's gonna jeopardize the mission.
Obviously,
Saul sent her there. It's not like she just bought a ticket and flew herself there. But what do you predict?
My prediction is he's gonna complete his mission. He's gonna start feeling, because remember we saw him giving a speech and people were cheering for him or whatever. I think he's gonna start feeling the righteousness.
Yeah.
I think Javadi is gonna help him complete his mission, and Javadi's gonna become number one and try to recruit Brody to become number
two. And
they're
gonna turn.
And he's
gonna
be the congressman over there.
I can jump on that too.
That's what
for
I think.
For once, we agree.
Okay. Me and Lauren agree. Ding, 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 ding.
I do see Javadi being a major villain next season.
Totally.
I do agree with that part.
And I think that he's going to try to, at least attempt to recruit Brody.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about, he's going to turn on Saul. He's going to turn on Saul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine the message it was sent to have an American turn and now be a central figure leader in Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy.
That would be bananas.
That'd be a good call. I would say you would win predictions if you.
No.
I would have to say.
Oh, he has one prediction.
I would say he wins.
Oh, no, I have one prediction.
That's a major one.
I have one prediction now.
I predicted when Brody would be back. So
that's true. That's his. He got a big
one.
Both
of you.
Anyway.
Good night to both of you.
Until next week, where can we reach you guys? Until Tui. Until the finale, where can we find you, Nando?
Okay.
For the finale, Nando Vell on Twitter, NandoVell, and on the blacklist here on AfterBuzz.
I'm Lauren Leonelli. You can find me at Lauren Leonelli on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Vine, and my website, and the best predictor ever on the internet.
.com. Mm-hmm. Thebestpredictor.com, Lauren Leonelli. And you can find me at Club Thaddeus on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time, After Buzzers.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.